sinful deception. How many know you can't live by feelings? You got to live by the facts and the faith and the Word of God. But that's not the greatest deception. Some people will say, well, societal deception. Neville Chamberlain over in England back in World War II went over to Germany, brought home a worthless piece of paper signed by Hitler and the Nazis stating that they would not invade any other countries. I'm telling you, they believed it. They bought it. They were tremendously deceived. I personally believe that the United States of America right now is committing moral, economic, and judicial suicide. There's a tremendous spirit of deception over our country currently. And the Bible says that in the last days, except those days should be shortened, the very elect would be deceived. So that there's such a thing as societal deception, sinful deception, and satanic deception, but that's not the greatest deception. I believe the greatest deception is found in James chapter 1 and verse 22. Just flip it up on the screen if you would there, please. Read this out loud with me together tonight. Be ye doers of the word. Read it again. Yeah, right. Read it one more time. I'll get out of the way. Be ye doers. What is the greatest possible deception? Self-deception. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you hear and you don't do anything about it, you deceive yourself. The Bible, there's about 10 verses in the New Testament that tell us not to be deceived. If deception were not possible, we wouldn't have 10 warnings. And I want to tell you, the deception is not only a possibility, it's a probability. And that's why the Bible repeatedly warns us, be not deceived. Now, this was written to Jewish believers, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, James says. And here James exhorts us not to be hearers only, deceiving our own selves. I was in New York City one time, went to a Jewish service where the rabbi got up with all his get up on, had the Torah open, and they were going back and forth like it was right here. It lasted about 2.5 hours. And I went up to the rabbi after the meeting and I asked him, I said, the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. I said, well, there's no temple. There is no bloodletting. How do people get their sins forgiven? You know what he said? He said, reading it is the same thing as doing it. You know what I thought? He's halfway home to being a Baptist already and don't even know it. That believing that reading it is paramount to doing it. Now, I believe the danger described here is not from Satan. It's not from society. It's not from sin, but it's from our own heart. Jeremiah described our old heart, not our new heart. By the way, how many know you have a new heart if you're born again? How many know you have a new heart if you're born again? But James described the old heart, and he called it deceitful above all things. Here's a sober proposition. Your own heart is capable of deceiving you. Your own heart is capable of lying to you. Alexander McLaren said, the worse a man is, the less he knows it. The worse a man is, the less he knows it. Now, the word of God is to be apprehended. It's to be appropriated. It's to be acted upon. I often used to go to Ireland. I used to go to Ireland twice a year. I don't know what happened, but that season is over. He fell out with me for some reason. But one Scottish preacher said this. He said, we have many, many sermon tasters. He said, here's what he said. He said, we have many sermon tasters who have never tasted of the grace of God. You know what a wine taster does? I've seen them on TV. Not that I know anything about it, but I've seen it on TV. They pour the wine in that massive goblet, you know, swirl it around. Then they come and sniff on it. Then he'll take a little sip and swirl it around in his mouth and spit it back out. They call it wine tasting. And you know something? We have many sermon tasters who have never tasted of the grace of God. My generation is satisfied to hear a good sermon without doing anything about it. They've been conditioned to hear without doing. In a church like this, they would not tolerate doctrinal heresy from the pulpit. But I'm telling you, the majority of people are satisfied to hear without doing anything about it. I was in Oklahoma one time. They had all-member Sunday. I went to the pastor. I said, what is this? He said, we're inviting all the church members to come. Since when do you have to invite all the church members to come to church on Sunday anyhow? Now, what is this? So here we have be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now I want to give you three components regarding the preach word tonight. Come back tomorrow night for the encouragement. From here on out, it's on mission, but tonight we're going to plow a little bit, all right? Three components regarding the preaching of the word of God. Number one, there's instruction. Number two, there's revelation. Number three, there's application. Now notice, first of all, instruction. How many think that American churches often we're over-informed but under-inspired? I mean, we get a truckload of information every time we go to church. You cut on the radio, cut on the internet, you can get sermons running out of your ears. Now listen, the goal of a cerebral ministry is mental compliance or mental assent. But brother, what you hear in the church house needs to be practiced in your house. That's why we got the extraordinary father and mother, amen? And we don't need one, the extraordinary grandfather. I put my picture on that one. Now, here's the thing right here. What you hear in the holy place has to be lived out in the marketplace. Now, there's more to faith than getting warm bodies to show up on Sunday morning. We have an epidemic of defective consecration. An epidemic of defective consecration. The majority of Christians, they tell us, never lead a soul to Christ or even try to lead a soul to Christ. I heard last night that 80% of Christians have never attempted to even share their faith. Now, if you want to lead somebody to the Lord, you're going to have to give it a try. Only 10% of professing Christians have personal devotions. Only a handful of heads of households will seek to have family altar. Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." Most churches are anything but a house of prayer. So why the defective consecration? Why? What is going on? Now, you know, when you marry somebody that's kin to you, you can produce, it's called inbreeding, and you can have a freak of nature if that thing happens. Did you know something? When you have spiritual inbreeding, what you have is freaks of grace. And I want to tell you something. Every group is strong on something and weak on other things. Every church has strengths. Every church has weaknesses. Every person has strengths. Every person has weaknesses. But spiritual inbreeding. I wonder if we just listen to ourselves so much and repeat the same slogans over and over to the point where we're neglecting balancing truths. Now, the Jews went ballistic when the gospel was offered to the Gentiles. You know why? It was outside of their box. And they missed the biggest thing that God ever did because it was outside of their box. Let me tell you something. If you don't think outside the box, you'll never get out of the box to start thinking. I said, if you don't think outside the box, you'll never get out of the box to think in the first place. Now, the Jewish nation was spiritually ingrown. They missed Messiah because he didn't come on their frame of reference. Remember when God told Abraham to get up and leave and he didn't know where he was going? Remember that one? He was to leave everything that was familiar to him. And I want to say this, you can't go anywhere with God without leaving where you are. A lot of God's people are locked into their spiritual culture. They got their favorite music. They got their favorite preacher. They got their favorite pet doctrines and all this kind of stuff. But they're locked in to a certain spiritual culture. And by the way, every church has its own unique spiritual culture. But all I'm saying is this. If there's no openness, if there's no ears to hear, if all we do is read the Bible to support what we already have been taught with no desire to learn anything new, Jim Cimbala said that most people are stamped by the time they're 30. Whatever it is by that time is all it's going to be. Now, brother, we can hang on to the traditions of men, or we can say, God, I'm ready to learn. Lord, what do you want me to subtract? God, what do you want me to add? Lord, what do you want me to change? Now, I go to churches where the people know what the preacher's going to say before he says it, because they've heard it 10,000 times. How many know that amen preaching is just repeating the same thing we've heard about 100 times before? Sometimes it's a good sign when there ain't no amens because you got to think about what the guy's saying, all right? Now, listen, there's such a thing as instruction in the word of God. Now, listen, if you want to go on with God, and I hope you want to go on with God, I hope there's a burn in your heart. I hope you're like Mary, who got at Jesus' feet and got baptized with that desire to linger at Jesus' feet. Listen, you got to move beyond your prejudices and your preferences. And brother, you got to move beyond the familiar. You know what the problem is? Our knowledge often outdistances our obedience. We know more than we're doing. I can get up and preach in a church like this, and when I'm on the road, I have my travel trailer. I can walk over to the travel trailer, and 15 minutes later, I have forgotten everything I said. And I'm the one that said it, for crying out loud. Now, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Say that out loud. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. A young book salesman was assigned to a rural area out in the country, and he saw this farmer sitting up on the front porch rocking away with his coveralls and a broom straw in his mouth. And the young man approached the farmer with the zeal of a newly trained salesman, and he began to give him his spiel. He said, "Sir, I have a book right here that will tell you how to farm 10 times better than what you're doing right now. Sir, I got a book that'll teach you how to farm 10 times better than what you're doing right now." And he kept on talking, and the farmer kept on rocking. But finally, the farmer stopped rocking, and he said, "Son, I don't need your book." He said, "I already know how to farm 10 times better than what I'm doing it right now." You know, the need in a church like this on Tuesday night is not another how-to sermon. But, brother, knowing what to do is not the whole story. Now, that's the first thing, instruction. When Paul told Timothy to preach the word. So there's a place for instruction, but that's not all. Be ye doers of the word. Point number two is revelation. The second component in the ministry of the word of God is revelation. There's got to be a divine dimension. Can I tell you something? It's not just transferring from head to head. There's got to be something going on in the heart. There's got to be the Holy Ghost active in what's going on, or all we've got is religion. You know what a pastor buddy of mine told me from Pennsylvania? He said, "Harold, the independent Baptists in our area are no different than the United Methodist." And what he meant by that was there wasn't anything supernatural going on whatsoever. It was just the same old stuff. It was just from one fallen head to another fallen head. And brother, there's got to be revelation. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that God would give them wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what he prayed for the Ephesian Christians. And let me just say this. One of the worst things that ever happened was when people started talking about full-time Christian service as if that was some set of elite people who get called into the ministry. Can I just tell you something tonight? Everybody's called into full-time Christian service. Not everybody's called into vocational Christian service. And the idea is, if you ever get called into full-time Christian service, you're a superstar, and all the other peasants come and support you and what you're doing. That's the worst thing that ever happened. That's one of the worst things that ever happened. Listen, you are called to full-time Christian service. Everybody's called to full-time Christian service. But this kind of thing has somehow not come over because why? A lack of revelation. So Paul prayed that God would give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, when you open your Bible, you got to ask God to open your heart. It's the speaking voice of God that makes the difference in your Christian experience. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, look in verse 23. Look in James chapter 1. Look in verse 23. James chapter 1, verse 23. He says here, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror." I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, got out of bed, went and made a couple of posts on Facebook. Some really good posts, by the way. And I was fumbling around, and I had to go out and try to get my backhoe battery charged up and all this kind of stuff. But I finally stumbled into the bathroom later on in the morning, and I looked in the mirror, and you know what? It was not a pleasant sight. I want to thank you for dressing yourself and cleaning yourself up a little bit, amen? You know, if you don't, look, if you're a man and you don't shave, and you don't clip your nose hairs, and you don't brush your teeth, and your hair's all messed up, and you got on your fleece pajamas, you should stay out of Hardee's until you get cleaned up a little bit. Say amen on that point right there. I mean, you know, the older you get, comfort's more important than appearance. I was up in Indiana one time, Illinois one time, sunny afternoon. I had on my dark socks, dress shoes, gym shorts, dress shirt, and I put on my fleece jacket, and I said to my son, let's go to Walmart. He walked, yeah, I blended right in, but he walked 20 feet behind me. Why was he embarrassed? I don't understand that. But how many of you know that if you look in the mirror and you don't make some adjustments, you'll go out of the house and you'll forget what manner of person you are. You'll forget what you look like. And can I say something to you? Be doers of the word. Now notice, he beholdeth himself, verse 24, straightway goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, shall be blessed in his deed. You know why we've got to be a doer of the word? Quickly, because we have short memories. Why is it we remember what we ought to forget and we forget what we ought to remember? Do you have that problem? I'm good at forgetting the wrong stuff and remembering the wrong stuff. But it's, you know, we have short memories. That's why it says we're to look into the law of liberty and continue in it and be a doer of the work. Now, there's more to preaching than instruction. I heard about a circus in China where they had trained a bear to ride a bicycle. Well, I'd like to see that, wouldn't you? And they trained a monkey to ride a bicycle. So they had this circular track, and the monkey was out there pedaling around, and the bear was behind him pedaling around. But the monkey fell off his bike. The bear ran over the monkey's bicycle, hopped off, and immediately lunged toward the monkey and took the monkey's mouth into its head. The trainers were aghast, and they ran out quickly to try to rescue the monkey, and they grabbed the monkey's hind legs, and they began to pull the monkey's hind legs, and in the process, decapitated the monkey in front of the entire audience. The parents and grandparents didn't bring their children and grandchildren in to see a bear bite the head off of a monkey, amen? But you know what the point is? You can teach a monkey to ride a bicycle. You can teach a bear to ride a bicycle. And I want to tell you something. You can teach people to look religious and do religious things, but Christianity is more than a learned behavior. There's got to be some revelation. There's got to be a divine dimension. There's got to be some animation of the Spirit of God. Now listen. Where there's no revelation, there's no revolution. Where there's no revelation from God. And let me say this again. There's nothing new to God, but there's a whole lot that could be new to us if we had open, teachable, humble, childlike hearts that were hungry to learn from God himself. You know what church people have been taught in America? Come, sit, listen, agree, support. For about four decades, The preaching was on institutional allegiance. The emphasis was on getting people to come, sit, listen, agree, and support. You know what the people did? They came, they sat, they listened. Most of the time they agreed, and most of them supported, I suppose. But can I say something to you? That there's got to be more to it than that right there. Pastor the other day, he said, Harold, I just wish my people would be faithful. And what he meant was he wasn't talking about being faithful to God. He wasn't talking about being faithful to being filled with the Spirit of God. He wasn't talking about being faithful to taking up the cross. He was talking about being faithful just to come, sit, listen, agree, support. You think there's more to Christianity than that, say amen on that point right there. There's more to it than that. Be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word. So if you don't have anything more than that, all you've got is mental doctrines. It's just facts and figures. There's nothing supernatural. Everything's mechanical or learned behavior. Now listen to me. It's important to believe properly. It's important to be dependable. It's important to give and support the work. But if you never tangibly minister to other people, is that really Christianity? Is our mission to raise money to send people to a foreign country so they can do the work of the ministry while we sit here, go out and earn a living, and then come and give them a check so they can go do the work? Is that really the goal? I know churches that are so big on sending people to the mission field, but the people they send on these short-term trips, they never witness to anybody while they're at home. And I just want to say this. I think there's something wrong with this. You've not really learned the word until you live the word. And when you walk with God, every command becomes a promise. You know what we need? The eyes of our understanding opened that we might have a revelation. That's why the psalmist said, God, quicken me. He said, Lord, make me alive. Lord, enliven me. Lord, animate me. Lord, quicken me. Why? That I might run the way of thy commandments. Now, listen. When's the last time you got marching orders from God? When's the last time you got some fresh marching orders from God? I'm telling you, when you sit at Jesus' feet, he gives you instructions, he gives you wisdom, and he gives you ideas. And I want to tell you something. They that know their God will do exploits. I want to tell you, I'm not talking about vocational Christian service here. I'm just talking about finding your place in kingdom and the kingdom operation and doing what God has called. And what God's called you to do is just as important as what the Apostle Paul did. I believe that. I believe that there's no second-class citizens. I just don't believe in that kind of stuff. We're supposed to believe in the priesthood of the believer, for crying out loud, to where we're priest, believer, priest. Now, we might even talk on this perhaps sometime this week, the assignment. But there's instruction, there's revelation, but here's the third point. There's application. That's application. Be ye doers of the word. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if all you do is hear, but you never do anything about it, you deceive your own self. That's the greatest deception, is the possibility of self-deception. Now, coming to church without leaving to act is deception. It's not enough to just put in time. It's not enough to show up for Sunday services. It's not enough to agree with the content of the message. Your soul is meant to be a channel for the truth and not a sponge for the truth. A channel. In other words, channels only, and God's working through us. Now, the person who comes to church with no desire to obediently heed the word of God will not hear the word of God directly. He deceives himself. I ask you again tonight, do you know what your mission is? Do you know what your assignment is? You all have an assignment. Everybody has an assignment. Everybody's called out by God for a particular purpose. You're perfectly accurate to do what God has called you to do. Now, look at verse 26. Now, notice this application part. James says, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be what? Don't you just hate religion? Don't you just hate religion? If any among you seem to be religious, look at this. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I grew up on a farm in Southside Virginia. My dad and uncle had two old mules. And one of them was the lead mule, and the other one was the follow mule. And you would put a bridle in their mouth. You know why we put the bridle in their mouth? Because we could give direction to it. I was 6 years old. They would put me up on one of these mules. And they would tell the mule where to go. And that was to the home place where my parents were, my father was born, about a mile and a half away. I was 6 years old. I didn't have the bridle in my hands to try to direct him. He knew where to go, and all I had to do was set up on it. And he would walk over there, and we'd get to the creek, and we'd stop at the creek. He was like a camel. He would drink for 10 minutes. I'm not exaggerating. Up to 10 minutes. And then he'd finally get full up, and then he'd just walk on. The mule walked on. That'd make a good sermon, Lester Roloff. And But the bridle is to give direction to the mule. And the Bible says that if any man bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, his religion is vain. Now think about that. The bridling of the tongue. Now brother, the person who can't bridle his tongue has got a deep, deep problem, according to James right here. The old Puritan said, he who speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue, and he who receives a slander carries the devil in his ear. Oh, I want to tell you something. This speech. Anybody here on Facebook? If you're not, don't. But if you are, you know what I've discerned? People, they will take my slides and put them on their page. And then in the very next slide, they're using language I don't find in the King James Version. I'm amazed at it. If any man among you seem to be religious, post-religious slides, but can't bridle his tongue. You know, when I got saved, God cleaned up my mouth. I just have to say that for the most part. I remember one time when, before I got saved, I could have written a profanity dictionary. And when I come to the Lord, I was fishing down on the riverbank, Stanton River, Roanoke River, down near Clarksville, South Boston. And I was catching stripers as long as my leg, and I got a pretty long leg. And I was down there one day, and I decided to try to jump across this stream, but I didn't make it. I went halfway, and up to here is like quicksand, and it was freezing. It was cold. And before I knew what was happening, out of my mouth, I took God's name in vain. I just took God's name in vain. I didn't even try to get out, Brother Wayne. I just stood there smitten, and I said, "Dear God, forgive me for taking your name in vain." And to my knowledge, I've never ever verbally taken God's name in vain since that very time. And I want to tell you something. When God cleans up your heart, he cleans up your mouth. Amen. If you got a dirty mouth, you got a dirty heart. There's something serious going on here. If any man among you seem to be religious but can't bridle his tongue, his religion is vain. Somebody said the tongue is in a wedged place and it's easy for it to slip. Does anybody here ever say stuff that you wish you had kept your big mouth shut? It's kind of like a fish. He wouldn't get in trouble if he kept his mouth shut. We're the same way, saying all kinds of stuff. Now, listen. The tongue is never satisfied. It must be crucified. Somebody said where the devil doesn't go personally, he just sends a critic. You know, there's plenty of sorry stuff you could talk about, but wouldn't we be better off to deliberately choose our words that are gracious and have a better uplifting effect? Now listen. This is the first thing, bridling the tongue. Notice the second application in verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this. Now, what is undefiled before God? What is it? To visit the who? Fatherless, widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Did you know you're created for good works? Do you know you were saved not to get you out of hell, but you were saved to get you were created for good works? You know, Baptist churches, they're scared to death to use the word good works, but the Bible's full of good works, and it talks about good works, not for salvation, but as a consequence of salvation. Titus said, be careful to maintain good works. Now, what kind of good works? Visiting the fatherless and widows in their affliction. How many know there's a pile of widows? We're going to have a session for the widows next week at the ladies' prayer advance because there's so many. We have a family over near us. They were like parents to us when we moved up here decades ago, and they took us in, and he died about, what, a month and 5 or 6 weeks ago, something like that. He passed on. His wife is a widow. She's homebound. She broke her hip, can't hardly walk. You know what? Wouldn't hurt to take her a flower every now and then. Wouldn't hurt to slip her a little something every now and then. Wouldn't hurt to take something by every now and then. Y'all with me on this point right here? How many know you got to look for opportunities to sow into the lives of other people? And when you're walking with God, you'll be mindful of these kinds of things. Loving God, loving people. That's really pretty much what it's all about anyway. So visiting the orphans. Do you know how many orphans there are in the world? You know, how much trouble would it be to give a buck or two a day to support an orphan somewhere with a reputable agent? I mean, what would be wrong with that, for crying out loud? Now listen. When you do it to the least of these, you're doing it unto Jesus. And I'm just telling you, this is pure religion. What about ministering to the lonely, the brokenhearted, the addicted, the dying? Bible says bear one another's burdens, but you can't bear a burden you can't feel. You can't bear a burden you can't feel. I just wonder if some people don't have hearts of stone. They're about as sensitive as a rock. But I'm telling you, when you're in touch with God, God will give you personal mission and people to invest in. When you're in touch with heaven, you get strong promptings on who to minister to and when to minister. Now, people who hear the word of God Sunday morning but don't act on it Monday through Saturday are deceived. You know what we've got? Information by the mile, application by the inch. In other words, we're at such a low point that if anybody's on fire for God, they stand out like a sore thumb. They look unusual. They look peculiar. I'm just here to tell you, that's the norm according to the scriptures right here. Faith without works is repentance. Listen to me. Ritual without repentance is dead. What did you do with what you heard last Sunday? Harold, what did you do with what you heard last Sunday? That'd be a good question right there. I asked myself these kind of questions. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock. I was over in Psalm 37, and three times it says, fret not. Fret not. You know what fret means? Simmer, glow, seethe, burn, fume. Fret not because of evildoers. Does anybody here ever meditate on the people that rip you off? You ever fret about that kind of stuff? You ever simmer on that kind of stuff? You ever think about that kind of stuff? And I was reading on that thing right there, and I said, "Okay, God, don't simmer." So I got some people that rip me off, but you know what? Fret not. Don't rehearse it. By the way, if you want to get something out of your mind, begin by getting it out of your mouth, and don't repeat it like I just did there about 30 seconds ago. All right, just leave it alone. Don't touch it. Now, listen, visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. Now, if your theology doesn't lead you to love people, you need to question your theology. Jesus went about doing good. Look at him. I mean, for crying out loud, he was helping people. You know, when you go to a restaurant sometimes, you see somebody over there that looks like they've been having a rough go. And maybe they're not dressed so well. And maybe they're not sharp. And maybe it's from a group that you don't associate with. What would be wrong in saying to the waitress, hey, listen, you see this person over here? I think I would like to take care of their bill anonymously. What would be wrong with that? You know, some little old grandma sitting over there, maybe nobody's ever showed her any favor. But praise God, you can show people favor. You can show people favor. Do you know when you show people favor, it comes back? Cast your bread on the water, buddy, and she's coming back your way. That's not why you're doing it, but I'm just telling you. We can show favor to people. We can invest in people. We can minister to people. We can love people. We can help people. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. But notice number three, it says there, and keep himself unspotted from the world. Whew. Man, you can't go to the mall without getting spotted. You can't go down the highway without getting spotted. You can't even look in your own heart without getting spotted. Now, you know what A.T. Pearson said? He said, the church is standing in the world bearing witness to Christ when it should be standing in Christ bearing witness to the world. I just want to say something right here. That right is right, wrong is wrong. And when people call evil good and good evil, that's a time to take a hike from that crowd. There is such a thing as holiness, which means separation to God and separation from, keep himself unspotted from the world. James says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith but has not works? Can that kind of faith save it? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith without works is dead. Now, you say, well, I'll show you my faith without my works. And Paul said, I'll show you my faith by my works. He went on to say, the demons believe and tremble. I mean, they even believe and tremble. You believe there's one God, so what? But faith without works is dead. Now, I believe there's a salvation application in this right here tonight. You know what's going on in our country? We've taken the fear out of God, the fire out of hell, the urgency out of salvation. And you know what happens? People come to church and they get comfort, 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 and no conviction. And I want to tell you, if there's no repentance, and it's not all conviction. Now, you understand that. It's not all repentance, but brother, there's a place for this right here. I'm just telling you, keep himself from the world. Now, saved people are content. Saved people are not content to hear only. Listen to me. Saved people are not perfect, but they practice truth. And saved people might have a relapse, but God always chastens them and brings them back. You know one of the good things about salvation? God won't leave us alone when we get out of the way. Isn't that a mark of grace? Thank God he doesn't leave us alone. Thank God he bothers us, you know. Church people who are word-hearing but non-doing are not God's people. Church people who are word-hearing but non-doing are not God's people. Faith without works is dead. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But if you're content with sinful imperfection, you might have a problem. Now, belief affects behavior. Say that out loud. Belief affects behavior. Everybody struggles with sin. Everybody struggles with sin. True Christians can slip into sin. But true Christians don't jump into sin and stay there without some chastisement. It bothers them. Reputation is what you think people, is what people think you are. Character is what God knows you are. You know, you really don't know what's in your heart till you run into a trial that's so overwhelming that you've never been here before. That's when you discover what's really going on. I mean, no, it's easy preaching when the sun's shining and hard living when the cloud cover hits. Easy preaching, hard living. I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. You know, hearers are content to listen and mark their Bible, but it's not enough to mark your Bible. Your Bible has got to mark you. When you open up that book, it's God breathing. It's God speaking. Now, there's a salvation application. Jesus has said some hard things. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that professes faith will enter the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me, but he that doeth the will of God, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many mighty wonderful works in your name? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. That's scary. Listen, if Moses didn't get in the promised land, and if Solomon had face-to-face encounters with God and wound up in idolatry, that ought to put the fear of God in every one of us. Now listen to this. Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew, I didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And when the wind blew and the rains came and the floods descended, it fell and great was the fall of it. Can you know what a wise man is? A person who hears the word of God and acts on it. Who hears the word of God and acts on it. And I want to tell you something. I get hungry sometimes just to hear the word from God. And brother, listen to me tonight. You got to build your house on the rock. Now, is it possible to come to church 52 Sundays out of a year? Is it possible to come to church services for decades? Is it possible to receive instruction without revelation? Is it all too possible to be a hearer of the word and not a doer? Is it possible? Is it possible? Is it possible we're living in the midst of the most massive deception in the history of mankind? You know why it's the biggest deception? Because we got more people on the planet than's ever been here, ever before. Over 7 billion people. Is it possible some of us that would come out on Tuesday night are radically deceived? Is it possible? Can preachers get deceived? I'm telling you they can get deceived. I can tell you that from experience. Now, listen, hearing the word of God will either affect you positively or negatively. If you hear it and act on it, it's a positive thing. If you hear it and don't act on it, it's a negative thing. And I'm telling you, even what you've got to be taken away. Now, look, C.S. Lewis said, if you're stirred and fail to act, he said, if you're continually stirred but fail to act, there will come a day when you will not be able to act. Spiritual paralysis. My friend Paul, what was his name? The chalk artist. What was his name? Anyway, he was a... Paul Turner. He had a stroke. He got paralyzed. He couldn't speak, couldn't walk. He always thought he would be able to speak and walk. Well, he can now, but he didn't then. And you know what? When we hear the word and don't act on it, it's like we have a spiritual stroke. We become paralyzed. We're incapable. We're incapable of even acting if we fail to act long enough. Now, there was a man in New York City who died at age 63, but he never had a job. He spent his entire adult life in college. He acquired all kinds of academic degrees. You say, well, how come this guy spent his entire life in college and never had a job? When he was a child, he had a wealthy relative who named him as a beneficiary in his will. And the will stated that as long as this guy stayed in school, as long as he stayed in school, he was to be given money to live on. But this was to be discontinued when he completed his education. He never completed his education. He became a lifelong student. He met the terms of the will. He remained in school his entire life. He had a steady income, but he never lived a productive life. He spent thousands and thousands and thousands of hours listening to lectures, reading books, and doing papers, but he never did anything with his life. He acquired more and more knowledge, but he never put it into practice. He lived for 63 years, a totally wasted life. And the Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You know how you lay up treasure in heaven? By doing what God's called you to do, by being what God's called you to be. I'm just here to tell you that God wants us to act on our assignment. It's not the will of God for us to go to thousands and thousands of services and hear message after message and never. You'd be better off to hear one message and act on it than to hear 10,000 and not do anything about it. By the way, the Moravians back in the old days, I heard about the guy, he got up and spoke a message, but he didn't feel like the people, the leaders didn't feel like the people had sufficiently acted on it. So you know what he did? He got up the next week, brought the same identical message. They didn't feel that they had acted on it sufficiently. He got up the next week and preached the same message. I know a guy that preached the same message 16 times in a revival effort. My friend, Benny Beckham. And you know something? They said there's no use to move on to more truth until we act on what we've already heard. You know what the tragedy is? I know more than I'm doing. I'm just telling you, I've heard a lot. And I'm just telling you, we got to make an intentional effort to be doers of the word, lest we become deceived. Now, what is the will of God? Love people. Help people. Minister to people. Witness to people. Disciple people. That's the message. Now, three components: instruction, revelation, and application. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jesus said, you're my friends as long as you do my commandments. What are the commandments of God? To love the Lord and love our neighbor as ourselves. That's really the essence of the entire law of God. Now, what are the commandments of God? Let me just give you a few. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. When you're hip certain at 5:00 in the morning, in everything, give thanks. Listen to this. Be filled with the Spirit. Preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples. Now, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, this thing is not about coming forward. It's about going forward. And the way we go forward is by what? Practicing the word of God. And when God quickens something to our hearts, that's when we need to act. Now, pull out your card right there. Pull out your pen. Pull out your card right at the top. Here's the application. Being that's the main thing, that's what we're going to do tonight. Put at the top, applications. Applications. Just write that at the top. And here's what I want you to do. In light of what Pastor Boone has been preaching, in light of what you've been reading and studying, in light of what you've been hearing these last 3 days, what do you need to do about the word of God that's passed through your mind and your spirit and your soul and your heart? Now, stuff like this. Who do you need to witness to? Who do you need to witness to? I was preaching this. I preached this sermon in Lynchburg, Virginia about 2 years ago. I wrote on my card the name of a man I knew God wanted me to witness to. But I didn't do it the next day because I was busy. I didn't do it the next day because I was busy. But Friday, I remembered, hey, wait a minute. The Lord prompted my heart to go witness to this man. I wrote it on a card. I got off the backhoe. I didn't change clothes. I walked over and walked into the house. And this man's wife said, he died 30 minutes ago. I never got over there. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. How many of you know when God talks to you, you don't need to pray for a month or a week. You just need to go and get with the program. Pray on the way and just go do it. I wonder if God's putting somebody on your heart to minister to that way. Who do you need to encourage? Boy, if you're looking for people that need encouragement, you ain't got to look far. I just got a text on the way over here tonight. Another friend of mine has been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I'm going to text him back on the way home tonight. I'm going to say, hey, brother, I'm ready to talk to you. I can tell you everything you need to know in 20 minutes. It took me 3 years to find out. But who do you need to encourage? Who do you need to bless? Who do you need to visit? Who do you need to take a flower to? Who do you need to send a gift to? I mean, just who do you need to forgive? What are the applications? Is God talking to you about the use of your tongue, or more accurately, the misuse of the tongue? What about this tonight? Is anybody here fretting? Is anybody here angry and mad about something or with someone? What's the application? Forgiveness. Instead of wanting to take revenge, maybe take it God's way, you know. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. What about clearing of the conscience? I just wonder tonight. You know, in revival, before the Spirit of God ever comes and visits a local church, there's people that have to get right not only vertically with God, but get horizontally right with each other. Can I give you 10 words that'll help you tonight? I was wrong. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? How many times have I said that to you, Debbie? I was wrong. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? Do you need to say that to somebody in your home? Start here. Don't come back here tomorrow night to get another dose without acting on what God's already talking to your heart about. Putting things right, clearing of the conscience, squaring things up, seeking to get reconciled. Man, if there's a breach in the family, go overboard to try to put the thing right. If your children's not talking to you, bless them. Help them. Give to them. Minister to them. Encourage them. By the way, our children not only need criticism, they need a lot of praise. They need a lot of praise. I'm just telling you. You say, well, they ain't doing right. Well, thank God they're doing some things right. You know what I said to my wife? I said, you know, my parents, they were not affectionate. How many know the old school people didn't know the words, I love you? How many know that? They couldn't say that. But I'll tell you one good thing. They stayed together, Brother Daniel. They didn't get divorced. There's plenty of reasons why my mom could have walked out the door probably, but she didn't. So, you know, let's bless them. Let's honor them. Let's encourage them. Let's try to, what do you need to do in light of what you've been hearing? Listen, if you say, well, I don't know anything I need to do. I was with a pastor the other day and he said, well, I don't know anything that's wrong with our group. And I thought, man, you need to get in the presence of God, because if you get a vision of a high holy God, you would see where some adjustments need to be made. What do you need to do? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Maybe tonight you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if all you hear and don't do it, you deceive yourselves. Now write down something. Take 30 seconds and write one thing on your card. One application, at least one application, you know God wants you to do. 30 seconds, just write down one thing. God's been talking to me. I know I need to act on this situation right here. Just put down at least one thing on your card right there. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How many wrote something on your card? Take it, and do it like this. If you wrote something on your card, take it and do it like this right here. Okay? Yeah, keep that up because it's hot up here. All right, All right, now look at that card right there. Now understand, whatever you wrote on your card is disobedience. And the remedy is do something about it. I wonder tonight if we could encourage one another tonight by just sharing one thing that we know God wants us to do, one application God has given me tonight that I need to act upon, that you'd stand to your feet and just shout it out so we can intelligently pray for you as you seek to be a doer of the word. Look, you don't come to church on Tuesday night because you don't want to do nothing. You come to church on Tuesday night because you want to walk with God. You want to walk in the light as He is in the light. You want the favor of God, the blessing of God, the power of God. So tonight, what have you put on your card that we could pray with you about, that you would be a doer of the word? Who'd be the first person to stand to your feet? Just shout it out.
Visit elders.
All right, let's remember, brother, you might want to write some of these down. Somebody else, just stand up. Yeah, it's on my card right here too. Yeah, witness to people. Make an effort. Somebody else. Yeah. Okay, witness to your sister. All right, Brian. It's good. It's good, brother. Amen. Okay, two school friends, yes. Okay, that's a prayer request, all right? We'll pray for that. Somebody that you need to make an application, you want to be a doer of the word, how can we pray for you? How can we stand with you and believe in prayer? What do you need? Yeah. Okay, witness to the boss, example in the home. Somebody else? Okay, witness to the son, yes. Ooh. You know some? We all got aches and pains and problems and missing parts, defective parts and replacement parts and all that kind of stuff. But that's serious. That's the crippling thing to where they can't do nothing, right? ALS. Wow. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah. Oh, really? Let's pray that God will open their hearts. Let's go for it. Somebody else, you got something on your card. You want to be a doer. We want to pray for you. Just stand and tell us. Yes. Great. Thank God you got a heart for that. That's wonderful. Somebody else. I want to be a doer of the word. Pray for me. Who else? Wonderful. Three daughters. God bless you, sister. Go for it. Somebody else. I got five grandchildren. I'm on a mission. You know what my mission is? To win the hearts of my grandchildren. You know what? I want them to be weeping if I check out first. You know what I'm doing? I'm taking them out to Chuck E. Cheese. That's a real sacrifice. Amen. I even ordered pizza. What a big mistake. I took them to the Dollar Tree. I got some other things on my mind. And you know what? I need to teach my children about God, my grandchildren. I need to do that. I'm not going to just roll that over on the mom and dad, but that's part of my mission. What do you need to do to be a doer of the word? Stand up, tell us. Okay. It's good. It's good. Co-workers. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. To the son, okay. Okay. Wonderful. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if you hear but don't do, you deceive yourself. You know what? If you would act on this before you get here tomorrow night, there would be a different atmosphere in the church service tomorrow night. Be doers of the word. How many believe that obedience brings blessing? Do you believe that? I know the blessing brings obedience, but obedience does bring blessing, doesn't it? And I want to tell you tonight, we're going to pray over every one of these requests and ask God to give us the courage, the character, and the strength, and the power to be doers of the word. And if you just get up every morning and ask the Lord what your mission is and act on it, I'm telling you, the Christian life will become more exciting than the other stuff that's going on out in the world. Be doers of the word. Let's stand together tonight. Let's bow our heads. Hold up your little card right there. I want Pastor Boone to come and pray a prayer of blessing over every soul in the house tonight, that we would be doers of the word and not hearers only. Bow your head. Hold up your card. Pastor Boone, come and have a prayer of blessing and ask God to empower us.